And we're back here on WWGH Radio Getaway Friday, August the 14th, 2020, 11 and a half minutes past the hour. You are tuned into the On the Air program. And today our guest is somebody we're always glad to have stop by. She is somebody in this community who has two schools named after her and has a long-standing relationship with the political world, and there's a lot of politics to talk about these days. With under 90 days till the presidential election, I think we're getting to the 80-day mark at this point, November 3rd, but now we've got virtual conventions, we've got a vice presidential pick that's unheard of, groundbreaking, a lot of people say. We've got the post office handling a lot of the way we're going to vote. It's a year like no other year. What a pleasure to welcome to these microphones, as it always is, to discuss all of this in the next hour, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
Well, I'm just fine, Scott. It's always a good time to be here.
Always a pleasure to see you. Let's start with the change situation. Have you heard anything more about that?
No, I haven't. I think things have leveled off, though, haven't they? Have you heard anything?
You know, I haven't heard anything. I know people seem to be getting more upset with it.
Oh, upset?
Yeah, they say, because when people don't get their change back, they are unhappy.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine so. I had not experienced anything, really.
It's hard to explain that to people, why they're not getting their change back. Because have you been shocked at the little amount that there's been on the news and in newspapers about this?
I have been, yes. And so you've heard from people saying they don't get their change back. Where does this happen?
I think it's mainly happening in grocery stores and department stores.
Oh, right. Well, I've got a lot of change, and I'm not having a problem with it. So if I was having a problem with it, it'd be a different situation.
I got to tell you, Mary Ellen, last Saturday night, I went out to eat. And we went to, just went through a fast food place, went to Wendy's, and the person I was with paid with $100, and they got back a 50 and some change, and the 50 looked like a rather old 50, you know, it was in the old style of the money, and they pulled out the 50 and it had your name on it.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So they are still out there.
Well, there's probably more 50s than anything else because, you know, people don't like 50s. They can be mistaken for a 20. I don't like 50s, but there's a lot of 50s still floating around.
How much of your money is still in circulation, do you know?
Well, there's quite a few hundreds, and you get a 20 once in a while, and so, you know, the 20s and the 50s and the hundreds, but... And people still get a dollar once in a while. They'll tell me they got a dollar and they want me to sign it. It's usually in terrible situation.
Yeah. It's been now, 20 years.
Yes.
Now, do you know when the last money was printed with your name on it?
It was late in 2001. I think she was appointed toward the end of the... year in 2001. It was several months, I know, before they appointed somebody.
That position, for people who don't know, what were the responsibilities of Treasurer of the United States?
Well, it has changed over the years, but ever since Ronald Reagan, it has been pretty much the same. You're responsible for the manufacturing of the money, the coins and the currency over the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and the mints. And the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is in two locations, Washington, D.C. and Fort Worth, Texas. And then the mints are in five different locations. California has the commemorative, they produce the commemorative coins that the collectors buy. Philadelphia and Denver produce the coins that we use every day, and West Point produces commemorative coins and also has storage of gold, a lot of gold there, and then Fort Knox, which has the big storage of all the gold.
Mm.
Yeah, and And morphine and opium and all the things they need in war, yeah.
Want to get to the political scene. Does it feel like a presidential year to you?
Well, it's certainly different. I'm excited about the year and everything, but I tell you, we're dealing with something entirely different than we ever have before.
When you look at this situation of COVID-19 at this point, we've been in it since mid-March. We now know there will be no Big Ten sports. Pretty well all the festivals are gone. It's getting worse now than it was in the beginning. What do you make of this?
I know. Well, you know, we kept thinking things would get better, and instead of that, it's getting worse. And the fact that there's no Ohio State football is a big jolt to everybody. And yes, we're living entirely different than we ever thought we would.
For somebody who's been involved with money, what do you think are going to be the long-term effects of this on the economy?
Well, I think it depends on who wins the election. I think it's going to be a time when you want to be looking and watching very carefully about your investments at that point.
We now know that the people thought they were going to get $1,200 in August, another stimulus. The Senate left yesterday for vacation, so that is not going to happen in the month of August. Maybe in the month of September when they come back. The $600 extra that the unemployment people were getting, that went away the last week of July. It's down to $300 now in Ohio, cut in half. Now that all this has happened, that we're not going to get this stimulus this month, that the unemployment rate has been cut in half, what do you think that's going to do to people as we go into the holiday season?
Oh, it's going to be really hard for people. I tell you, I'm amazed, too, at the stock market staying rather stable. That surprises me.
Would you have thought that it was the right thing to do to send the stimulus money and give the extra $600 to unemployment?
Yes, that all comes back. You know, if they were worried about the debt, and we should be, when that goes to the people like that, they immediately spend it. It comes right back to the government.
Do you think people spent that money wisely? Do you think people said, okay, this is going to be a long haul, mm-hmm. this pandemic's going to be a long haul, I need to put this back and use it sparingly, or did the majority go out and buy televisions?
Well, I have no idea what they did, but I hope they used it wisely. Do you have any information on that?
Well, I know that the day that it happened, you knew, because people were at the grocery store in large numbers, and people mm-hmm. did go as if they had gotten a tax refund and buy televisions. I don't know if that was the majority, but I know a lot of people did that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, they need to plan for the future.
Do you think this country, when the senators and the Congress people get back in September, can they afford, do they have to do the stimulus at some point? Do they have to come to some kind of agreement?
You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I never saw such a time of people not being able to work together. It's just terrible the way the government is. It's in the worst mess I've ever seen.
And as we say that, we're coming up on the presidential election, and there are a lot of interesting things going on here. On Tuesday, Joe Biden finally announced his running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, the junior senator from California. What'd you make of that pick?
Oh, I was thrilled. I was hoping he'd pick her. I've been a fan of hers for a long time. She's terrific.
For people who don't know much about her, which tends to be the case with vice presidential candidates, what appeals to her for you?
Her ability to give a good speech and tell people how she feels about things. She comes across very clear, and that is so important. When people are in office and they can't express themselves, it's a real detriment to the job. And when a person can give a speech like she does, and explains it the way she does, slowly, and you know she's had a lot of experience with, for instance, in California, my goodness, she She defeated 30-some people for the Senate seat when she ran for Barbara Boxer's seat. And think about that in California. And so, you know, she can win people over very well, and she can.
Is it a problem still in 2020, because we're certainly not too far removed from 2016, that she's a woman and that she is African-American or Indian heritage as
yes,
well, I guess?
I think it's good to know that it's Indian and Jamaican, and that's fascinating to me. When you look at her background and how she grew up, she had a difficult, her parents, you know, didn't have very much to live on, and for her to, and her sister, both of them, to have law degrees and to have acquired what they've acquired is amazing.
It's only been 3 days. As of yesterday, it was 3 days, and there's already what people are calling the second birther movement in regard to her, that she was not born in California and the timing's wrong. And it was to the point, I wouldn't bring it up, except that it was brought up in the presidential news conference yesterday and asked of the president about it. Now, he did not confirm it, but he did not deny it. And is this round two of the birther movement that we had with Obama?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's ridiculous what they can do. And people will believe it. I mean, you just hear about anything. Immediately, when somebody announces for an office, immediately everything turns on them, and you hear everything under the sun. And that's what's happening now. But she's a good choice, and I think they're going to be a good team to run for the presidency.
What I keep hearing is because of Biden's age, being he would be 78 years old on election day, that he won't make it, and that this will be the president, and that this is all a setup, and that's why this birther movement has come about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so much for that.
Yeah. Well, is politics has always been a sharp elbowed game, but is this the worst?
I don't know that it's the worst. It's pretty bad, but I've seen some really bad ones. Well, you remember the other women, Geraldine Ferraro, her husband, they started picking on his investments, and that's what they did to her, and then McCain's running mate.
Palin,
yes. A woman has a difficult time, but this woman can handle it. I think she can handle it.
Is there a problem that in the first primary debate, she went after Biden very strong about being against busing?
Yeah, right. And good for her. I mean, you know, she saw the opportunity and she took it.
What has astonished me, covering the 2016 election closely and others, but I think 2016 was very unique, but we've covered others. What is so astonishing to me, and I'm not sure if it's the pandemic this time, and I want to get your read on this, but the name Biden, when I ask somebody about the presidential election, I'll say, who do you think's going to win? What do you think's going to happen? What the answer I get, and it's never been like this, is either I like what Trump has done, I'm voting for Trump, or I don't like what Trump has done, I'm not voting for him. It's like the other person does not matter. Biden has gotten so little press, so little, his name comes up so little with people, it's almost like this is about whether you like Trump or not.
Yes, yes, it is. It takes me back to my first run for state treasurer. A lot of people voted for me because they didn't like Buck Reinhardt, and that's to my advantage. So let's just say it's to Biden's advantage. And the more that Trump talks, the more I think that it's going to help Biden.
Professor Alan Lichtman, who I'm sure you've seen, he's been on this show a few times. 2016, he predicted Trump would win, and we all laughed at him at that point, and he was right.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he did his prediction last week. He came on Monday. He said Biden would win. He's predicted every election right since 1984. But I said to him in the interview, I said, does it matter who the Democrat is? Let's say it was Hillary this time. And he said, it's irrelevant. This election is about Trump.
I think that's correct. Yeah, I wonder, I didn't want Hillary to run again. I wonder what would be happening if she was running. It would be a different situation always. I mean, the person, every person is so different. And I wish we could just see what that would be like, just to see, you know.
What do you make, and as somebody who paved a lot of ground when it came to women, next Wednesday night, it'll be virtual, the virtual Democratic Convention, but the lineup that night when Senator Kamala Harris accepts the nomination as vice president is Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton.
Well, that'll be a good night.
Why do you think they chose Hillary, I think, is an obvious, but
yes.
Why Elizabeth Warren and Hillary that night?
Well, I think, Elizabeth Warren is Bernie's thinking. I think they have to include that.
What do you, being a part of the Clinton administration, knowing Hillary Clinton, what do you think her speech will focus on that night?
Well, she'll give a good speech. Yeah. I hope she doesn't talk too much about 2016, and I don't think she will. She's very smart. She'll give a good speech.
Do you think Hillary's a lot younger than Biden? I think 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's younger than President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see Hillary Clinton taking a job in a Biden administration?
Well, it's possible. She surprised me a lot of times, and she could do that.
It's interesting because I just don't imagine that she would ever stay gone for... I can't imagine her staying out of any political office, appointed or elected, for the rest of her life.
Staying out of it.
Yeah, I can't just see her being a surrogate or a fundraiser for the rest of her life.
I think she would like to be involved. Yes, I would agree with that.
What position at this point in her life do you think she would be good at in an administration?
Well, I watched Rachel Maddow last night, and the security people... the people in the all those agencies, you know, that watch for our security. I think that Hillary might be good in that area. I don't know. She would be good in many areas, but I'm really worried about our security with other countries. I think things are very serious there. I would like to see her. When she gets involved, she gets involved. And she could really do about anything, I think.
I remember Obama said, after he defeated her in the primary of 2008, that the reason he wanted her to be Secretary of State is he wanted somebody who knew all the foreign leaders,
yeah,
to repair those, so he,
right,
didn't have to worry about,
right,
that. Could that... I mean, it's weird how life mirrors itself, because... In 2008, we had the economic collapse of the housing industry.
Oh, it was terrible,
and
yeah.
Obama needed to stay focused on that, so he made Hillary the Secretary of,
mm-hmm,
State so she could go do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with coronavirus, I don't think Biden's going to have a whole lot of time to be worrying about what's going on in China.
Yeah.
Would Hillary be that person again?
Well, I tell you, she does know all the leaders, and she would know what to look for. She knew that Putin was up to no good, and she knows what's going on. And that's the reason I thought if she was involved in the security somehow, the international security, to maybe help those people, because that's a tremendous organizations. All those are tremendous organizations that do that. And I don't know, she could do just about anything, I think.
Would you ever see her as Attorney General?
Well, yes, I think she would be a good one. We certainly need a different one. He's really a problem.
You know, there's a lot of thought in this because, and we'll ask it this way. If Biden should win, do you think that after Inauguration Day in January that Ruth Bader Ginsburg will step down on the Supreme Court?
She might if she's not feeling well, but she's trying to stay in there. It's amazing, isn't it?
That's why I would guess that if a Democrat got it, she would be gone pretty quick.
I would guess that too, Scott, and but I give her credit.
Who do you think would be the appointee? Because in my mind, I thought of this the other day.
Yeah.
I thought, what about Obama?
Well, it's a possibility, and that's happened many times. The previous president has gone into the Supreme Court.
Right. Do you think Hillary would ever fit into that?
I don't know.
Would age work against her?
I don't know. I can't guess that.
It's going to be an interesting time. How concerned are you as a Democrat that Trump will win?
I'm very concerned. Very, very, very. He would have the ability to do much more, and it's been terrible for what he's done to our country. I just can't believe that he's trying to totally change the way what we stand for, and we've lost all of our countries that we worked with. I mean, he's done damage to that. They wonder what on earth is wrong with us, and I wonder what's wrong with us. And so there you are.
When this 4 years is looked back on, what do you think? How do you think people will see it?
Well, I think it's going to be a terrible thing in our history. I really do.
What do you see President Trump doing if he shouldn't win?
Well, they're worried about him, you know, leaving. They think he won't leave, and they have studies going on right now on how to handle that.
Do you think he will go into the private sector? Do you think he'll stay in the political world?
No, I don't think so. Why would he?
Do you think he liked being president or likes being president?
I don't think so. I don't think he thought he was going to win. And no.
Is this, where do you think he will rank in presidential history?
Well, I would say probably at the very bottom, yeah.
What is it about him, though, that was so, I've never seen fans of a president like this who will wear hats, who will wear masks, who will, it's not just yard signs for Trump.
I know.
It's a real, he did touch something in people that really made them love him more than I have really ever seen for any president. It's almost like he's their guy.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Do you think there is going to be that unaccounted for vote that we saw in 2016 pop up here? The polls will be wrong on election night?
Well, it depends on if everybody goes out and votes or not. That's what happened before. If they, you know, and Putin was very responsible for a lot of that, on people not deciding that they didn't want to bother to vote, and then see what happened. I mean, and you know, I was just hearing about the new book that's coming out that, what's his name, his lawyer?
Cohen.
Yeah, Michael Cohen wrote the book. It'll be out soon. It's got some dandy things in there about what Trump does. And the man is just not fit to be president.
Do you think that for the first time since Nixon, that the moment a president walks out of office, that he really could be facing jail time?
I think so, yes. That's what they say.
And my understanding is it would all happen in New York State.
Yes.
And even if Biden wanted to, which I doubt he would, he could not pardon him because it's a state crime.
Yes.
And highly unlikely Cuomo
right.
would be pardoning him.
I don't think so.
What do you make of Cuomo's political future?
You know, I knew his father. His father, I thought, was tremendous. And I always wondered why he didn't run for president. And I just felt that there must be something in his background that he didn't want to come out. And I do care a lot for Cuomo. I think he's been a good governor.
Yesterday, at that same press conference that we talked about earlier, and I'm not sure, and people can watch the video if they want, the president was finally asked about the post office. There's been a lot of question about the post office in the election. And he seemed to say that he has defunded the post office and that it is because of the election. When you heard that, when you saw that clip, what'd you make of it?
I just thought he's trying to control the election. He's trying to win the election by not letting people vote, and it's pretty obvious.
Do you think somebody should have said, don't say that, at a press conference?
They probably did. They probably did. He goes ahead and does what he wants.
Is that what people like about him?
That could be.
He didn't try to hide it.
No, he didn't. No.
It's a very strange thing because you see these clips. They always have writing, and it said Trump admits to defunding the post office, and I thought, well, you know, somebody's trying to write it. And I watched it, and I thought this has to be doctored up. So I found another clip. I couldn't make he just seemed to say it.
Well, you know, stop and think about doing the damage to the post office that he's doing. I mean, are people going to get their checks when they start not getting their retirement checks? Things are going to hit the fan. When the military can't write home, things are going to hit the fan. The post office is such a necessary factor in our government that if anything happens to it just because of his election, I think it's just terrible to do what he's doing.
When it comes to the post office, we had David Pepper on a couple weeks ago, head of the Democratic Party in Ohio. And apparently the Democratic Party is suing the Secretary of State here in Ohio, LaRose, because they want... I want to make sure I say this right, because it's kind of complicated, that what they want is people to be able to be allowed to register to vote online and be able to request their ballot online, not vote online, not vote in the mail. The Democratic Party does not want that in Ohio. They just want them to be able to register and to request the absentee ballot through the mail and online. Now, is that really a huge deal, do you think, in the middle of... I assume this is because of the pandemic.
Well, they have to have time to get this organized, and they say that they don't have enough time, don't they? Aren't they saying that?
I think that's what's...
That's what the problem is, and And Trump probably knows all of this. And you know, my husband was at the post office for 30 years, and... So I have a feeling about the post office. And if we don't have our mail coming, because we rely on our mail, it's very, very important to us. If you don't have your mail, what do you have? Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting. What about a lot of people still get their bills through the mail?
Well, absolutely.
Jury duty?
Yeah.
Still comes
Everything.
Through the mail?
Yes.
I don't know how that's going to work. What do you think, typically in a presidential year, voter turnout would be big. What do you think during COVID will be like?
Oh, I think it'll be big.
Think it'll be big?
Oh, I do. Yes. I think there's a lot of people that are very worried about our government.
The conventions in past years have not really been watched by as many people as used to watch the conventions. Mm-hmm. What do you make of this virtual convention?
Well, you know, I can understand that. I used to really, when I, you know, I was on the executive committee for 20 years, and when I was at the convention, I would listen to everybody. But there's a lot of people in the world that don't care about that, but I did. And I really think that having a convention really isn't necessary. I kind of wish they wouldn't have it, you know, but they are having it, and there will be people watching, and there will be people that don't care at all about it, and that's fine.
How do you think it will go over, not being able to hear the crowd applaud?
Oh, that's hard, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be sort of difficult, I think. But we watched that the other night when Joe Biden picked Kamala, and I didn't think about it until afterwards. They said, "Well, what did you think about nobody clapping?" And I thought, "Well, I didn't. It didn't bother me, you know."
If you're running for president this year, or really any other office, is this an easy year to run?
No, it's terrible. I feel sorry for the people running. It's just awful for them. They can't do what they normally do, you know.
What do you think we will see as we head into the fall? Do you think people will go to people's doors and try to put yard signs out and things of that nature?
Well, the yard signs are popping up, so I think you will see yard signs. I don't know about going to the doors, because that's another tricky situation here with the virus. So I think you're going to see a lot of yard signs, and probably there will be a lot of advertising on the radio and TV.
Do you think that will sway these local elections?
Well, I think that locally, they've been working, I know, locally, everybody. I don't know, it's so hard for them. If I were running, I'd probably be really worried about the whole situation, because it's so hard for anybody running.
When you run an election, just in a regular year, what is it like as you head into the fall?
Oh, it's well, like for state treasurer, it's extreme. You're just going everywhere you can go and speaking everywhere you can speak and trying to cover all the counties. And oh, I just worked so hard when I ran for office, I'd be exhausted.
When you're out there and you're shaking hands and you're giving speeches, does it ever become monotonous?
No, I liked meeting the people a lot, and I liked giving speeches. That's strange, because in the beginning I didn't, but I got so I liked doing it. And I just really enjoyed meeting people. They'd give me ideas, and I'd think, oh, that's kind of crazy. And then I'd go home and think about it, and I think, well, that's not, that might work. And, you know, you should listen to people, because they do help you think of things.
What were the important things that you wanted to tell a crowd when you spoke to them?
Well, I wanted to tell them why I should be in that position. I wanted to tell them if I was running for re-election, I wanted to tell them what I had done in the office. And the first time when you run, you're telling them what you want to do, because it's two different, totally different situations when you run for re-election. And you try to get that across to the public. And when I ran for the first time for state treasurer, you know, I was running against six men. And I said, doesn't it make sense to elect a treasurer to be treasurer, because nobody else was a treasurer? You get your theme. You got to grab their attention. You know, otherwise it becomes kind of people don't pay much attention, but you got to grab that attention when you're running, and you have to say things in a way that they will want to hear it, and you don't promise anything you can't do. You don't do that. I never did that.
How did it come about that you ran for state treasurer?
Well, Gertrude asked me to run, and then she double-crossed me. But anyway, that's how it started. And then I surprised her and won.
Turned out okay.
It turned out okay.
Turned out just fine.
I said, you know, if she hadn't asked me to run, I wouldn't have run.
What way did she double-cross you?
Well, she gave me a campaign manager that was a drunk and a liar that didn't do anything good for me. And she had the problem of the embezzlement, and she was worried about that because she didn't know what was going to happen to her. So I couldn't raise any money because she had a fundraiser of her own, and everybody thought she was going to give the money to me. She kept it all. She wouldn't even shake hands with me the night I came to the fundraiser. She didn't even buy my ticket for the fundraiser. And Tony Celebrezzi bought my ticket to the fundraiser. And she was surprised when I asked her to swear me in. It really came as a surprise to her because she knew, and we couldn't figure out why she was doing some of this but a lot of people felt she wanted to be the only woman, and I think that was it.
So she just didn't want any women after her take the office?
Yeah.
Well, you were running against a man.
Yeah, I was running against Buck Reinhart, yeah.
Do you feel that she wanted him to win, even though he was not of her party?
I don't know, but she didn't like my linked deposit program. She told me that'll never work, and she was upset about that. And she was, I don't know, she wouldn't endorse me. After she asked me to run, she wouldn't endorse me, which was strange. And I don't know, she just turned on me, and it was very difficult. Everybody all over the state thought she was such a wonderful person, and that wasn't the case.
What would you do on election nights?
Oh, you're holding your breath. And yeah, I was at one of the hotels in Columbus, and everybody was there. And my people thought I was going to win, but they didn't tell me because they didn't know for sure. And Buck Reinhart was just the floor above me. And I remember my daughters went up to see what he looked like. and he was terribly upset over the election. Of course, naturally, everybody that loses is terribly upset. Well, one of my people was in the elevator one day, and they said somebody was going up to see Buck Reinhart, and they said, "Don't mention Mary Ellen Withrow's name. Buck Reinhart goes crazy."
How did you find out? Was it television that night that you had won?
Yes, it was television, I believe. There was a lot of information coming in. We knew that I was going to be behind in the beginning. And I went out to eat at a restaurant called Pheasant on the Lane, on Lane Avenue. And they said, "Stay there a while because you're not going to be ahead in the beginning." So Norman got nervous. He said, "I think we ought to get back there." And so we went back, and it was wild. There was so many people there, and you can't really concentrate when there's so many people around. And I kind of just wanted to be by myself and watch all of this.
Did Buck Reinhart call you that night?
I think he did. I can't really remember. I don't remember. It's one one of the things I don't remember. Yeah.
Do you go down that night when you find out you won? Do you make a speech or?
Yeah. You make a speech to thank the people that are there and that have worked so hard for you, and I stayed in Columbus that night. I remember I was going home the next morning. And, of course, I'd see all my friends in the restaurants, and when I went home, we ate, and they said, that woman over there that's smiling just won the election. And that's about the way it was.
Is it, what kind of feeling is it when you,
it's
got to be.
It's wonderful.
A huge high.
Yeah, it's probably probably getting married, it's probably the best thing that you ever have happen. Yeah.
When being appointed to a position, the Treasurer of the United States, what are the differences than winning an election?
Well, you're pretty thrilled about that, too. I remember thinking after I was appointed, I think, well, they can't take it away from me now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although the president could have taken it away because you're at the pleasure of the president. But, No, it was such a thrill to be Treasurer of the United States.
How often would you speak or see Bill Clinton?
Oh, probably, about every 2 weeks or so. It varied, but I would see him fairly often. And every time I'd see him, I'd thank him for giving me the job.
What they say he's a guy who likes to have conversation.
Yeah, he's so nice to talk to. Yeah.
What kind of things would he talk to you about?
Well, we would talk about coins and the money situation a lot. And he would, of course, he had a coin made for him, and we had to design that. We had it, and then he had gotten a haircut. And he said his hair was too long in that picture on the coin, so we had to do it over. And then he wanted to change what was on the back of the coin. What is right for the country? It's something about that. What is right for the country was what he finally had decided on. And then I would see him at functions, and we would talk, and that's sort of the way it was.
When was the last time you got a chance to speak to him?
In 2016, when he was campaigning for Hillary.
What was that like?
It was great to see him. He was so nice. He said, "How are you?" And my daughter was so excited she forgot to take any pictures. She was standing right there, and she said, "I forgot to take pictures." And I never did get a picture of it. They took a picture, and I tried to find out about it. It was in Delaware, and I don't know. It's like, I don't know what happened to that picture.
How close have you been to Joe Biden?
Well, I just have been around him a few times, and I met him way back in '88 when he was running for president. At that time, I was supporting Al Gore, but I liked him, and I felt it was not fair what they did about his copying somebody else's speech. I didn't think that was fair what they said, but anyway, any little thing they can get going, they do. And then, of course, I've seen him several times since. I didn't see him for quite a while there, but then when I saw him speak, it was in Sarasota, New York, and I really enjoyed his speech. It was a terrific speech. And that was probably in about 1998 or 99. And I just thought he was such a good person. I felt that.
Did you ever think he would make it to the presidency?
I didn't. I didn't this time. You know, things weren't looking too good till Clymer came and he helped him get going, and it took off.
Out of all those candidates, the most ever in the Democratic primary this time, mm-hmm. was he the best choice in your opinion?
Well, he's the choice, and you go with what the public has decided, and they decided he's the one.
Speaking of the Democratic convention next week, our former governor, Republican John Kasich.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
What do you make of that?
I don't know. I didn't know it until I heard it on your radio station this morning.
Yeah, one of the featured speakers.
What night is it?
I think it's Tuesday. Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. Do they say at all what he's going to speak about?
Doesn't really say. Just
really?
Says they. I don't know if they asked him, or I'm sure they did.
What's he doing? Do you know?
I think just giving a speech. I'm not sure what. I would guess it probably is not going to be pro-Trump. I don't know.
Oh, he wouldn't dare.
Right.
He wouldn't dare, yeah.
You've been around Kasich for a long time. He's been in Ohio politics for a long time. What do you make of him?
Oh, I think he's really against Trump and wants to see Trump out of there. I feel that he's felt that strongly, yeah.
What do you make of him speaking at the opposite convention?
Well, I don't know. That's unusual. And the fact that they let him speak, he's got to have something powerful to say, or they wouldn't let him speak.
Do you think this could be the bipartisan, we'll invite you into our administration, we'll bring a Republican in?
Could be. I don't know what the thinking is. I haven't talked to any of the Ohio people. I haven't talked to David Pepper. You've talked to him a lot. Did he say anything about it?
He didn't. I think he just thought it was good.
Yeah? Did
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, John Kasich is very interesting because when he ran for governor, he was considered the Republican's Republican. He wanted to get rid of the teachers' unions. He wanted to do that sort of thing. But then when he ran for president, he became a very... I don't know if it was because of Donald Trump, but he became a favorite of Democrats in that if we have to have a Republican president, we want Kasich. They seem to like him better than Cruz or Rubio or Trump. Then he went to work for CNN, and now he's speaking at the Democratic convention. That's quite a transformation in just 10 years.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Would you have thought that of John Kasich?
No. Although he's surprised me several times lately in the last several years. I think that he's probably going to be a very good speaker. I'm going to be sure and listen to him.
What if you had to pick it right now, who do you think's going to win in 80-something days, president?
Well, I sure hope it's Biden. I sure hope so.
Do you feel more confident about this than you did with Hillary?
I thought Hillary was going to win. I had no idea that she wouldn't win. I was, you know, those polls were so crazy, but people didn't show up. Polls couldn't show that. I mean, they were getting people's opinion, but if you don't go and vote, that's not there.
Will they show up this time?
Well, that's it. We've got to make sure they show up.
It's going to be interesting. Mary Ellen, it's always a pleasure to have you in. The time flies.
You know, it does fly, and I just love coming and talking to you and everybody.
It's great. Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned. Well, Porky, you know I can't sign off this program with you here. Before we close out, where did your famous saying come from, and then give it to us?
Oh, it's how about a cartoon. That's it. That's simple.